The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.'" From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. Here in the church, it's still Christmas. Our flowers are fresh, and the candles are lit. And even though there's already trees lying along the curbs on our street anyway, Christmas didn't end on December 25th. It started then, and it stretches all the way to next Sunday, January 6th, when we celebrate the coming of the Magi from the East. So here we are, still celebrating, and right in the middle of all these gifts and decorations and cookies and carols, right in the middle of it comes the day that we call the Feast of the Holy Innocents, which is the day on which King Herod flew into a rage when he found out he'd been tricked by the wise men. And in his rage and in his paranoia at hearing about the birth of the new king, he ordered his soldiers to slaughter every little boy in and around the little town of Bethlehem, who was 2 years old and under. And this Christmas Eve, at our Festival of Lessons and Carols, we sang a carol called "Unto Us a Son is Born" that was a new one to me. And one of the verses was about this horrible event. It went, "Herod then with fear was filled. A prince, he said, in Jewry, all the little boys he killed at Bethlehem his fury." And even as we sang those words last week, I remember thinking they felt so completely and utterly out of place in the midst of this holy season that we think of as a time of light and love and joy and peace. It was jarring. It seemed maybe even a little wrong to sing about something that was that ugly and that cruel and that unspeakably evil. And yet there it was, right there in the carol. There are people who cast doubt on this event. They claim that it never happened and that Matthew just made it up. They like to point out that the main historian of that time, whose name was Josephus, he doesn't say anything about it. Hi, Lexlyn. She still seems too little to walk. But on the other hand, everything that's known about Herod shows that he was a paranoid, power-greedy ruler who murdered a lot of people to keep a firm his throne, including his own sons, one of his wives, his own mother-in-law. So the fact that the death of a few dozen baby boys didn't get recorded really shouldn't surprise anyone. And in fact, it is exactly that lack of outrage, that lack of even notice in the annals of human history that makes this day, this commemoration of the slaughter, so terrible and also so important for us to remember, because we live in a world where the deaths of little children, where acts of cruelty by men in power, where the grief of bereaved parents, where the death of our loved ones barely seems to make a ripple in the grand scheme of things. God, in his great love for the human race, chose to be born as a baby boy in a world in which the lives of baby boys were held of little account by the powers that be. And that, Charlie Brown, as the saying goes, that is the true meaning of Christmas. Listen to what John says today at the very beginning of his gospel. The light shines in the darkness. We sing joy to the world at Christmas time because we are the people who walk in darkness. We sing it because we are the people who live in the shadow of death, along with every one of the 7.5 billion people who share this world with us. Jesus came to be born as one of us. He came to share the full experience of our humanity. God so loved the world that he had made that he sent his one and only son to us to live and to suffer and to die as one of us. And that's the first thing that it means for the light to shine in the darkness, that the one who is light itself entered our darkness and shared it with us, that he chose to know pain, that he chose to know sickness, that he chose to know from the depths of the darkness sorrow and betrayal and fear and anger and death. Because the coming of Christ doesn't mean that the darkness has just been erased. Not yet. We know that. Not long after Mary gave birth to Jesus, the mothers of Bethlehem were grieving over the lifeless bodies of their sons. And then over the centuries since the first Christmas, the darkness just continues to overshadow this earth. Countless young men and women of every nationality have died on the battlefields of this world to satisfy the greed of a ruler or the hatred of a nation. Diseases like cancer bring death to young and to old indiscriminately. Poverty and mental illness and injustice and violence darken the lives of way too many people. Jealousy and resentment and cruelty and fear infect every relationship. And we feel the darkness in a very immediate way right now, as it looks like our friend and brother Scott is losing his battle with the cancer that's just spreading from one part of his body to another. And it's really hard in the face of all this to feel anything other than bewildered or angry or just terribly sad. And it isn't wrong to feel all of those things. It is entirely appropriate to hate the darkness. And sometimes it's really hard to see the light that's still shining in that deep darkness. But the promise is that the light has come, that it is here, that he is here, that God is with us. And his light is present in all the prayers and thoughts and kindness of everyone who loves Scott and Linda. His light is present in the knowledge and skill of doctors and nurses and technicians who are caring for them. His light is present in the innocence and love of their beautiful little grandchildren. Because the reality is that we, even though we are imperfect little children of God, we are called to be the light. Just like that little song we all sang when we were children, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." Jesus himself told us, "You are the light
of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. If this world is going to see the light that came into the world on that first Christmas, it is primarily through us that they will see it. And every one of us shines light into the darkness in our own way. In every way that we show love to each other, whether it's through a hug or a phone call or a prayer or a home-cooked meal, every time we oppose lies or injustice or cruelty, every time we offer forgiveness to someone, every time we show grace, every time we show respect to someone the world despises, or mercy to someone who needs mercy, even if they don't deserve it, every time then we reflect the light of God into the darkness of this world. Because light is the sign of God's presence. Light is his thing. Right from the beginning, at the beginning of all beginnings, when the Word was present with God and the Spirit hovered over the unformed universe, the first word that was spoken in this creation was, "Let there be light." And when God led his chosen nation through the wilderness, he went before them in a bright cloud by day and a blazing fire by night. And when he sent his prophet to speak hope to the world, Isaiah cried out, "Arise, shine, for your light has come." And when Jesus came in the fullness of time, his birth was heralded by a rising of a new star, the one that caught the attention of the Magi, and by this glorious light that dazzled the sleepy eyes of the shepherds outside Bethlehem. Jesus said of himself, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And in the New Jerusalem, John wrote in his vision, "There will be no need of sun or moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb." The light shines in the darkness, and we are all too familiar with the darkness. But that's not the end of the story. John didn't stop there. The light shines in the darkness. He went on to say, "And the darkness has not overcome it." Because the thing about God choosing light as his sign to us is this: light always gets the victory over darkness. The innate property of light is this: if you throw open the door to the darkest closet on a bright summer day, the dark is instantly and utterly gone. Darkness that seemed to have such immense and terrible power to blind us, to make us afraid, darkness is suddenly and entirely powerless in the face of light. No bright room was ever darkened by opening the door to a dark closet. The light always floods in to conquer the shadows. And that is our hope, the hope of God's final judgment, that when the door of this dark world is thrown wide open, the sweet, unstoppable light of God comes flooding in, and every work of the darkness will be extinguished. War will be gone forever. Cancer will be gone forever. Hatred will be gone. Fear will be gone. Mental illness will be gone. Racism will be gone. Alzheimer's disease will be gone. Addiction will be gone. Jealousy will be gone. Fear, suspicion, cruelty will be gone forever and ever, because light wins. Light always wins. But now we live in this in-between time. In the birth of Jesus Christ, we saw the light break into our darkness, and everything was changed. We have rejoiced, we continue to rejoice in the coming of God to his people. We live our lives every day in the light and strength of his love. We are different creatures because God dwells in us. We know that. But as the Feast of the Holy Innocents reminds us, as if we needed a reminder, we also live in a world that's still overshadowed, in a world that's still so full of pain and of sadness and of sickness and loss, our own suffering, and the suffering of the people around us. And so today, let us pray that God will shine out through us more and more. And so I wanted to close by having us pray the collect one more time, only all together this time. It's in your bulletins. Let's pray that God's light will shine more and more fully from us into the world. Let us pray. Almighty God,
you have poured upon us the new light of your incarnate word. Grant that this light, enkindled in our hearts, may shine forth in our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.